This is Ian's podcast. Copyright Ian, he and Strope, 2008.
Granite Seed Productions.
Granite Seed Productions. And we are going to, I'm here, and so is he.
Ian?
No, Ian's not here. He's probably at home. What do you think he's doing right now?
Watching anime? Is this his night?
No, it's not his anime night. I wonder what he does on his nights that aren't anime nights.
I don't know. Maybe he just... I don't know.
Do you think he masturbates a lot?
I don't want to...
You don't want to say it because he's going to be listening to this and edit
it? Well, no, I don't want to spread any, like, vicious rumors.
A rumor is only something if you, like... You can't make it up. You have to have heard it somewhere. Did you hear that he masturbates a lot?
Well, who starts the rumor, you know?
Rumors are based
in
truth.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Rumors
are
founded in truth, usually, and they just kind of blow up into something different.
So, have you seen him masturbate?
All you would say is speculation. We're going to talk about
masturbation.
We're going to talk about Doug Liman's Jumper today. Doug Liman, you may all remember him as the director of
Born Identity, right?
Well, Born Identity. But before that, he did Go, and his first movie was Swingers. Have you seen Swingers?
Nope.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It aged pretty well. It's like it was the birth of Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. And what? And
Jon Favreau, the director of Iron Man and Elf and so forth. Yeah. Jon Favreau's he's a pretty creative guy. He wrote Swingers, and it's like it's one of those hipster like it was during the swing band craze that happened in the 90s when swing bands were hot.
Swing bands.
Remember? You're like three. Three in the 90s.
I remember it well.
What year were you born?
88.
Oh my gosh. So you were like three in the 90s.
In the all through
the 90s. You gonna open your grape drink?
Yeah.
You bought grape drink.
Is
it purple juice?
It's purple.
Purple stuff. Give me that purple stuff. Does it have juice in it? What's the juice content of your grape drink?
It's all juice, bro. I don't know.
Let's see.
It doesn't say.
No caffeine.
It's Welch's, so I assume that it's 100%.
100% what? Grape drink?
100% awesome.
It's 100% grape drink.
Warning, contents under pressure, grape drink. Signed grape drink.
Signed. Okay. So... The previews for Jumper made it look really stupid, and the reviews...
I thought it made it look awesome.
Really? You wanted to see it after the previews?
Well, I knew it was going to be terrible, because, you know, it had Hayden Christensen, and it was...
That's usually the first sign that it's not going to be a good
movie. It just, like, looks really... I thought it looked cool, but, you know, like, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to be good.
Right.
It looked... I don't know, it looked like it would have a lot of special effects, and it would be, like, fast-paced and pretty to watch. But, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be good by any means.
What I thought was interesting is when the preview first came out, I thought, that looks intriguing, because it was almost like a sci-fi-ish type thing. It's not really set up like a... They try to make it into like a superhero type thing just because a few characters keep mentioning superhero
that's
stuff.
That's why they had to... That's why they put that like Hurricane Katrina thing in it, like, you know, when he was sitting on his couch.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, to separate it, maybe? Like, but show that he's selfish or...
Yeah, but that's stupid. Like, it just doesn't make any sense that they would do that. Like, to make him any sort of... interesting character. The thing is, I guess that this movie, being as flawed as it was, I think was more intriguing because it was because there was a huge problem with the main character. Because if he think about it. So the movie starts like this: He goes, it's Hayden Christensen being an asshole, and he's sitting on the top of the Sphinx.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, and they keep cutting back to it like 12 times in the movie. Like, he keeps putting things on the Sphinx, yeah, like bombs and people.
He's the shit.
And, yeah. And he's like, hey, you sons of bitches, I'm awesome. Check it out. I watched the NBA Finals, and I went up to Mount Everest.
IRL.
Yeah.
He teleported there.
And I took a nap in the Louvre, and I took a dump in the Queen's castle in England. And then I went to the White House and pissed on the lawn. And he just does that over and over. Yeah. And then he says like some crap like, I was once normal, a chump like you, which is really endearing to the audience. And
yeah, I was like, fuck you.
So all this,
which is like what it was supposed to, you know, make you think.
Are you think much. So?
Well,
I think what you're supposed to think is this guy's awesome.
I mean, if you
recall, during the movie, you and I high-fived at least 7 or 8 times.
I'm sure the guys in front of us, or to the left, or whatever, high-fived.
I think those guys probably did silently high-five a few times. He loved the movie so much that he answered his phone during the movie.
Yeah.
It was like, what's up? And hey, who is this? Yeah, dude, I'm watching Jumper. Did he say it was good to the guy who...
I don't know, but he seemed to be enjoying himself.
He enjoyed himself, yeah. Every once in a while, he would say something. Usually when someone says something funny in a movie, like out loud, to try to elicit laughter, first of all, it has to be funny.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, they usually show their mirth by like kind of like laughing along or like or saying it in a certain way. But this guy just said it like the Norm MacDonald version of, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
What?
We played on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy?
Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. Norm MacDonald played Burt Reynolds. That was it. And he just stood there and like his impression was terrible. But he chewed gum. He chewed gum and he had the fake mustache. And he would go, "Yeah, give me that one." And then they would say it, and he would answer really wrong because he was really stupid. Then he'd go, "Nah," and then keep chewing his gum. And that guy reminded me of that. He'd be like,
"It was like deadpan kind of."
No, just not deadpan. Like he was retarded, maybe. Maybe he was just really stupid.
When he teleported into the library, he was just like,
he goes,
"Better read a book.
Better read a book." And he kept chewing his gum.
Better read a book.
I assume he took a swig of his beer that he had been hiding, because I'm sure he had one in there. I don't know. So, when I read the reviews, it was like, this movie kind of sucks because it's impressive to look at, but the main character is totally unlikable because they try to make it like a superhero and you're supposed to care about him, but you don't because he's a dick. And the one chance they have to show him do anything like where they have, he's watching TV in his super rich apartment in New York because
Katrina.
After he was a kid and he was abused and beat up by a kid.
Yeah.
And he found
they didn't even make his childhood look.
No, in the book it's different. Terrible. In the book they actually show that he was abused repeatedly by his
father.
Yeah,
maybe if he was actually beaten. Well, I guess he was attempting to beat him.
And in the book, the first time he teleports is when his dad is trying to beat him with his belt. He takes off his belt and hits him with the buckle or something like that. And the second time, he escapes to like a truck stop diner, like a state away or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's picked up by a truck driver who says he'll take him somewhere place safe. And the guy takes him to his friends and they try to rape him.
Ooh.
And it's like really graphic. Like,
it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, seriously. And then he teleports again. So like... In the book, it's just like, it doesn't show his dad actually beating him. He's just like, my dad wasn't a very good dad, basically. My mom left. And then he learns how to teleport. And then he finds out, hey, I can rob banks. So he robs some banks, and he gets super rich from robbing banks. And then he lives. And one thing I thought was, Hayden Christensen is a pretty slim guy. And all he does in this movie, instead of walk anywhere, is teleport. He teleports 2 inches to pick up his remote control. I was thinking he would actually be really fat. He doesn't burn any calories in the movie, almost.
Yeah.
Except for, like, toward the end where he has to fight people and stuff. But he still just kind of teleports.
Like, if...
Like, he doesn't really take... yeah. He'll teleport, like, 1 inch to push a button on something. Oh, what a bastard. And so, the one chance they have to show him, like, actually being a good person, which would actually not make this quite as fun, I think, because you'd care, but it'd be really bland. Mm-hmm. Because now it's like you don't care about the character, but it's kind of almost intriguing. Like you wonder the whole movie why did they make the movie about this guy? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think about it more. It's the old thing where like a flawed movie is more interesting than a perfect one. But so anyway, it shows like he's watching a thing from Hurricane Katrina. And there's some people on a bus. It's like floating through a river.
Where a teleportating man would really help him.
And the guy in the news is like, well, those people are trapped out there where no one could possibly get them. And he kind of does the thing like where he's like, moves his eyes back and forth, like, well, I guess I could get them if I drive, but I'm kind of too busy eating this box of Cheez-Its. I don't remember if that's what he was doing.
He teleports Cheez-Its into his
mouth. Pretty much. Oh, man. And so, like, that's the one chance to show that he actually cared by, like they could actually show him then, like, teleport on TV and take the good people and, like, they're back in his apartment and then he kills them or something. But instead, he just kind of sits there like, oh, I don't really care about that. And then pretty soon they draw him into the thing where the bad guy, which is Samuel L. Jackson, who for some reason has this really fake-looking white wig on. Really fake-looking. It had, like, lines in the back of it where you really could tell they glued it on and stuff.
They should have at least put a little bit of gray in there. You know,
yeah, to make it kind of, yeah, because, like, what, does he diet? You know, this guy, like, takes time out of his day every couple of days
because you
can't show your black roots, right? So you got to diet
white. He's got to look as inconspicuous as possible.
He did it to blend in. Samuel Jackson, he dyes his hair sheep white to blend in. That's a good point. And another thing that all the previews said was that, oh, the only thing you hear that you would give you the idea about what these guys are is that some line about only God should be able to teleport. Yeah. And he does say that in the beginning. That's the first thing he says to a jumper that he kills early on. But then after that, they do have explanations because Jamie Bell explains that these are the people who did the Spanish Inquisition. It's like, it's basically like
witch hunts.
It's like witch hunters almost. Yeah, it's like some quasi-religious organization that is just basically stalking people with like paranormal superpowers or whatever. Weapons. And they've done it all throughout. They've done it all throughout history or whatever. Which isn't quite as uninteresting as just some, oh, here's some pseudo thing about God should only be able to. Because they do explain it a little bit more. And then
I really wish they would have gotten more into it, though. Because like that would I don't know. There's going to be a second one.
I'm sure there will be. I think this actually made quite a bit of money. So I know it costs a lot to make, though.
Yeah.
It really did have check an budget, impressive. Yeah, I will check the budget soon. When it comes down to the effects, they're actually pretty cool. And there's a few times that he does these long, like, helicopter shots of people on top of things they shouldn't be on top of. And at those points, you can tell it's fake because they're kind of like moving a little bit, like when they shouldn't be. But other than that, like, it's actually a really impressive. Like the effects were kind of cool. There's this one part where the Jamie Bell character runs at Roland because he's super angry, and he teleports like 5 times in a row to like build up speed to hit him and punches him through a wall, and it was stuff like that actually looked cool.
Yeah.
The scenes where Hayden Christensen and him are chasing each other with the bomb and like zapping in and out of like traffic and like all over that actually looked kind of cool, and it looked like that would actually be really difficult to film.
Yeah,
and so I mean, Doug Liman's a really good technical director, I think, and he's really not that bad with characters either. That the main problem still in this movie, which makes it extremely flawed, is that
actor, right? Or
you know, I think it is the actor because the thing is, I thought Hayden Christensen actually wasn't as bad as I thought he was in this one. You know, like he seemed a little more. He wasn't really. There was one moment where he was whiny, which is when he's in the Italian jail. And he's like, I didn't do anything. And at that point, I was just started thinking of Anakin Skywalker. Yeah, but the rest of the movie, like he seemed a lot more.
His voice, like, and it's something like, you know, you can't really change, you know, because it's like really him. Like he
definitely is. He's a better actor than the Star Wars roles. George Lucas is not a good people director. He's just not good with actors.
He's like really cornball.
He's so like and wooden and like.
Yeah.
Every time he talks, he's like pouting in the movies. I don't know why Obi-Wan won't let me become a Jedi.
Get on the council and bullshit. Yeah.
It's so annoying. And he's good in Shattered Glass because the role called. Did you see that one?
No.
He's playing a guy who's this emotionally stunted young man who doesn't want people to be mad at him. And to get the success he craves, he makes up stories. And it's based on a true story about this guy named Stephen Glass who wrote for The New Republic and basically made up sources and made up stories, which is you can't do as a journalist. It's all, you know, so he ended up getting fired eventually, but
so that was a good movie.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, but he plays this like whiny, emotionally stunted guy, and every time someone's about to catch him at something, he says, are you mad at me? And he starts getting all like antsy and stuff, and they take it as like he's just kind of whiny, and they're like, "Oh, calm down, I'm not gonna, you know." And then they kind of back off, and they kind of forget about him for a little while, and that's his whole his shtick. So for a while, I was thinking that's all he could play, and he does play a different character in Jumper. He's definitely more self assured most of the time.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the book is that it's really about an abused person. The first book, The Jumper, is about an abused person, and he keeps returning to his hometown and returning to the library because, like, one of the signs of, if you look at, like, the development of abused people, like, they tend to return to the place of abuse because it's, like, almost comforting to them. So the book is kind of written that way, that it's really, like, a portrait of an abused person who happens to have a superpower, and it kind of makes the story more interesting and stuff. And in this, I thought they did a little bit also because he really has no contact with people besides his, like, doorman. Like in the building
that
he comes out of when he's all rich. And when he comes back and has to talk to, like he talks to, what's the stupid chick's name in the movie? Summer from OC. Okay. That's all I know her name is. Rachel Bilson. And he goes to talk to her mom. And he's like stuttering and like can't look her in the eye and stuff. Like I think they try to put that in there, that like he did have a problem connecting with people. Like he couldn't really do it. And the only person he ever did have a connection with was that girl. And that's why he kind of... So, I mean, the more you think about it, you could probably try to dig out of it that this character was more interesting than people tried to make it out as. I think it was more interesting that he was so selfish and, I mean, he was a kid, basically. He really was. And he wasn't a whiny kid like Anakin Skywalker. what kind of stuff did you think about?
Well, I would have liked it. They spent a lot of time, you know, on the younger version of him.
They did.
But I think they should have spent more time developing that. Like they only showed the relationship with him and
the girl. Millie was her character.
Yeah, they didn't really show like enough.
Yeah, very briefly with his dad, and he very briefly mentions in the voiceover, the asshole voiceover, where he talks about everyone's a chump in him, where that his mom left him, and then that ends up being like a really weird recurring thing. Like it happens like he mentions the mom in the very beginning. And then she appears in the very middle, and then she's in the very end. Like it's the sort of like bookend thing for the chapters of the film or whatever. Like the end of the first act, there's something about the mom. The second act, like that's important to him. But it's weird because his dad was actually there the whole time, and they didn't make him that abusive in the film. So, and he does get upset when his dad is. We're spoiling this whole movie, like kind of. Who cares? But it doesn't really matter. We don't have to. His dad, something happens to his dad, and he's upset.
Like, really, it seemed kind of unnecessary.
It did, yeah. And Samuel L. Jackson's character was different, definitely weaker just because they didn't give him any sort of personal reason for being so like,
What's, like, the motivation of, like, the whole Paladin group?
Yeah.
Like, why is his mom, you know, like, protecting him? And like...
So they did explain more than I think a lot of reviewers give it credit for, but at the same time, like you just said, they don't really give them motivation to why these people...
Only God should have this power.
Yeah, like, so come on. So they're super religious zealots? That's what they are?
Yeah.
Come on.
They're abusing their power. Somebody should...
Yeah. Somebody should get them.
Yeah.
Like Jamie Bell does.
Seriously. The shit.
It really didn't have... A lot of movies like that have moments like a big blockbuster-type sci-fi-ish superhero-type thing. It normally has like more humorous moments in it, too. You notice that? There wasn't really like any moments where like you were expected to laugh except for a few lines that Jamie Bell said, basically.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything.
The only moment I could have thought, with Jamie Bell and him playing the video games, you know?
Yeah.
That's like the only...
You know what the movie kind of reminded me of, like, tonally, was Butterfly Effect. Did you see that with Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
Because it was filmed with that same sort of, like, gray, whenever he went back home to Ann Arbor, Michigan, it looked like the Butterfly Effect.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kind of, like, a tension.
That was actually on today. I was watching it. Yeah.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. God exists. I told you.
It was so we could do this podcast.
When the technology, and what was funny is that we were talking about, you said you watched something where some guy said, what we were really concerned about was making this movie scientifically accurate, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, what were some of the, I forget what it was, but we were talking about a moment that was totally unscientific.
Oh, it was like, he was talking about how, you know, like, when they go through their, they call them jump scars or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they keep the momentum that they have, you know, from when they go through to when they come out. So, like, if you're dropping off of something, then, and you teleport in midair, And if wherever you teleport to, like, you'll have that, you'll carry that same momentum. So you'll be like, for example, jumping off the Empire State Building, you'd carry that same, like, terminal velocity
right.
when going into a pool, and you'd yeah. die.
Right, yeah. So what happened is, yeah, they fell off the Empire State Building because they were, like, chasing the detonator of the bomb.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were falling fast enough by the time they caught the thing that it was, like, a terminal velocity yeah. type thing. Which is, you can only fall so fast yeah. at some point. And then if you hit anything, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what it is, especially not the 6-foot kitty side of, the, yeah. Of a pool. So seriously. Then they morph into a pool somewhere.
And
they just kind of like bloom, like right into it.
And how did they even do that? They didn't have a picture of a pool.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think they developed the idea early on that he's still kind of weak at his jumping, and he has to look at pictures of it. Jamie Bell doesn't ever do that. He can just jump to places he's been. But and if you see something from a distance, you can go there.
Yeah, but like
they didn't explain that very
Jamie
well.
Jamie Bell, like, I think it's like you can jump, like, you know, to a place that you can see, right?
Yeah.
But like you like to jump longer distances, like to places you can't see, you'd have to have it in a picture.
Right.
Which I like. That's why he was saying. What was they? Hayden Christensen was saying. He's like, I have jump spots like all over the city or something like
right.
that. And then what did the other guy's character say? He's like, I just like walking.
Yeah,
that wasn't a really good
no,
example.
That was that was just the part where he was like, he asked him why are you walking
yeah.
or something like that. Well, and he says, I like to feel normal every once in a while. Or
but
something.
Yeah, I do think that he needed pictures, but I don't know. Maybe they saw the pool below the Empire State Building or something. So
right,
who knows. I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably
I don't
just
know.
A nitpicking.
Yeah, I don't think there is a pool below. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if they can see it and they're...
Yeah, they were
they
like in the
there.
Sky, like, you know, through the whole entire... Like, they could see the whole city from
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
so
I guess they could have gone
you
anywhere.
You could, like, rationalize it, so, you know.
But still, their momentum is
yeah,
enough
momentum,
that
yeah.
once they came out of it, they would have hit whatever it was
yeah.
pretty hard.
It'd be like jumping off of the Golden Gate Bridge
yeah,
or something.
Right. Unless they, like... They hit a water slide that was at a really steep angle. If they hit a water slide at a really steep angle.
And what if it, like, ramped up and they're like, whoa!
And they were going faster and faster with each thing they hit. That would suck.
It's like a Rube Goldberg machine
yeah.
of jumpers.
So it looks like the budget was $85 million, and it's made domestically $68, worldwide $80. So it's worldwide.
Barely
it's,
making back its...
Well, worldwide it's made almost... It's almost doubled what the budget is, which
oh.
pretty much means making even.
You said
worldwide,
the budget.
No, worldwide, foreign total was $80 million.
But what was the budget?
The budget was 85, so it almost made it back just with the foreign take. The domestic was also 68.
Oh, okay.
So you combine 68
okay.
and 80 to get the worldwide gross.
All right. Okay. So that's not too bad. They're making.
No, I think that's definitely enough to warrant
yeah.
a sequel.
Yeah.
One thing that was like, you know, one thing I thought it was too in love with was the fact that it was like, hey, check it out, man, we're in Rome. Check it out, bro, we're in China. Hey, Egypt, yeah, we made it. Like the director and the producers were like, this is so sweet, dude. We get
it
to
was
go
like
all over
so
the country.
Pleased with itself.
Yeah,
it
really was.
Like...
Yeah. And the main problems were like, since Hayden Christensen isn't that authoritative, a commanding presence,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like a protagonist should kind of have an authority presence over, for instance, like the girl he's in love with,
yeah.
so that he can like actually help her. Which
their chemistry was terrible.
It was awful, and I have to blame her because Rachel Bilson is the worst actress on the face of the earth.
She's got OC cred.
OC cred. Dude, all she can do... The only thing she can do well is look into people's eyes. Like that's what she learned in acting class, I think. Like, when someone talks to you, she, like, kind of looks in their eyes and goes... And then she, like, looks away and kind of mumbles her lines.
She did a lot of, like, looking.
Yeah, she did a lot of looking. And then, like, look... But then, like, when she would talk, she would, like, blink and look away and, like, mumble her... She mumbled. Like,
she says it, like, verbatim and, like, you know, without emotion
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
It was like Gilmore Girls, you know?
It was, yeah. I'd rather see her, like Alexis Bledel, that girl. I'd rather see... she would have been much better. She's much poor. That chick we said we both just hate, Zooey Deschanel or whatever.
Yeah.
She would have been better.
Anyone,
something. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, basically, the two main leads being Hayden Christensen and her, It's a terrible idea. Like who thinks that Hayden Christensen is a box office draw? Because a bunch of kids saw him in the Star Wars movies, they're gonna be like, dude, I totally want to go see that new movie with Anakin Skywalker.
Neuromancer, dude.
Yeah, what an awful choice. Like, there's so many. Jamie Bell's a good actor. There's a lot of younger looking actors. I know he's British, but
wasn't he like Jamie Bell? What else has he been in? Wasn't he just in like another movie? Or was that like one French guy? I don't know who I'm thinking of, but he's like really popular now. I think it was Atonement or something. Or
are you talking about James McAvoy?
Oh, I think that's
the Scottish one. Yeah. Jamie Bell was recently in. Now, you know, I don't know. He might be on a TV show or something like that. But it looks like he was in Chum Scrubber, which was a movie in 2005. Played a kid in that. He was in the video for Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. Yay!
He was definitely more of a presence than Hayden Christensen in the movie, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, he's an actual, like, decent actor. Yeah. Hayden Christensen, he should be cast in something where... I think he should be a bad guy in something, but not Darth Vader.
Seriously. Like, yeah. Like, in, well, maybe if he has his mask on.
Yeah, and James Earl Jones is talking. Then he could be Darth
Vader. Just play, like, the
body. He could just be the body double.
But yeah, like, yeah. So. He'd be a good bad guy, like, especially if it was like a, I don't know, because like you hate him, like, whatever
reason. And this definitely is an anti-hero thing, because an anti-hero usually, or anti-hero usually ends up kind of helping people out, because it both helps people out and helps him.
Yeah.
But in this, still, it's, I think this was more interesting just because it was like, it was the portrayal, it was like a watching something about an emotionally stunted person because of abuse and the loss of a parent, who grows up very selfish and can only cling on to like something that's going to give himself pleasure.
I really wish they like,
and it was interesting to watch
more
that.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of me filling in the blanks by saying that.
See, like when you describe it, it sounds so much better than it was. Yeah.
I kind of think that's what they were trying to do. Yeah. But Hayden Christensen isn't a good enough actor to show that. And I don't think they cared enough to, add. I mean, it was only an hour and 28 minutes. They could have added another 5 minutes worth of like character development throughout the thing to flesh out his character.
Yeah, I don't want to like blame it totally on Hayden Christensen, because you know the Jamie Bell character. Like, I wanted to see him more like isolated, and I think that's what they were going towards with, you know, him talking to the dead paladin guy, you know, while he's playing games. It would have been like, I don't know, just show more depth.
Well, and it showed also that one of the things is that Samuel Jackson told him. Christensen says something like, I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything to you. Why are you doing this to me? And he says, you may not have hurt anyone yet, but you will. Everyone always does. And I was thinking, that was kind of like a trite statement, just a blank statement. But then they show, like, toward the end of it, Jamie Bell probably killed, like, a dozen, like, innocent people by, like, in one part, he has, like, this double-decker bus from London where he morphs into or teleports into.
Yeah, because he's, like, totally obsessed and stuff.
Yeah, totally obsessed with reckless. Well, because Roland killed his parents.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a reason, you know?
Yeah.
And then he teleports back in this bus, which I assume it has to be full of people because it was driving down the street.
Yeah, but it didn't show anything.
It didn't
show
anyone.
Maybe he teleported the people out before.
No, he didn't.
I'd like to think he did.
No, he didn't. And the bus rolls over 8 times, probably killing everyone inside. And then the one part we know at least that he killed was they go into Chechnya. And there's a war going on.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and he lands a truck there. Like, he's basically, like, drove a truck at Hayden Christensen through.
And you could plainly see there was a Mexican.
Yeah, and there's a guy sitting in the truck.
South American.
And he's like, whoa, what's going on? And Jamie Bell gets out of the truck. And then a tank rolls over the truck and smashes it to hell.
So, I was, like, seriously, like, looking at it, you know, rolling over the truck. And I was like, did the Mexican get out? I was like,
what about the Mexican?
But it didn't show the truck, so I was like,
"Yeah, right."
I don't know.
So I mean,
if we would have stayed till the end of the credits, I'm sure we would have.
Yeah. So that character was much more interesting.
Yeah.
But that also can't be a main character. That could be an anti-hero if he decided to change later on.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hayden Christensen one, he wasn't interested in hurting innocent people, but he also didn't care about them.
Yeah.
So he didn't at one point. He just kind of accidentally didn't hurt anyone in the film, you know?
Yeah. Like,
because he didn't really care. We know he didn't care when he rolls his eyes when they say no one can get to the bus with the black people on it. Katrina. Hayden Christensen doesn't care about black people. And so he, he doesn't. But at the same time, like I said, that's just a more interesting character because it's like watching this portrait of this guy who's if we know his reasons, which is he was abused, then that may be why he has nothing to do with people except for the one person he ever had a connection with, mm-hmm. and that's the only person he cares to save is her for mm-hmm. his own selfish purposes.
It was weird because like it seemed like when they were showing him you know young with her, it seemed like she was kind of ashamed of him, but I wasn't really I don't know.
That's
like,
the old movie crutch where you take somebody who's supposed to be nerdy and then you can take the hot girl mm-hmm. and she's actually secretly interested in him. It's the same thing from Alien versus Predator 2 that we saw. Remember? The nerdy pizza boy. Yeah. And the girl's actually like head over heels in love with him.
Yeah,
even though she's a dick jock boyfriend. Yeah. It's always a dick jock boyfriend. Yeah. Like in this was the same thing.
But like, I don't know. It was like just like really weird. She's like, thanks for the snow love or something like that. I don't know. She seemed like she was more of a maternal towards him, you know.
Maybe,
she
didn't really. But then like he sees her for the first time in 8 years, and that day she kisses him, and then they do it.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
By having them do it, I don't even need to talk about it. I guess I thought after their day of walking around, they should have done it to keep the sexual tension there. Because instead, like they meet for the first time in 8 years, and they do it. Then they walk around.
First, they get him in the hotel.
Yeah, right. Then they walk around Rome for a while, like trying to pretend like they're in love and stuff. But there needs to be sexual tension there. Like, hey, we should maybe do it later. Yeah.
It seemed kind of like,
you know,
it really
doesn't
rushed.
Make sense. That doesn't make sense.
She's putting up her stuff, and he's like, look at that.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
yeah, then they do it. Yeah. And like, she just like rips off
her
shirt right
away.
Maybe they
didn't do it. Maybe he's saving himself.
They show them take everything but their pants off, and then they fall off the bed and they're grunting, and then it cuts to them walking down the road. You think
they're frustrated.
What if they both said, wait, let's wait for marriage right then?
Like, it's a good thing we didn't really have sex in that last scene,
right? Like, because then we'll be sinners.
Yeah. What about like his going around the world and sexing random women?
Yeah, he did that. Yeah.
Was that because
at least one point?
It was because he was looking for love.
I think he was just really...
He was missing something, and he was trying to replace it with material things
and
one-night stands and
stuff. I think that was just because he could, and he was trying to make himself feel better, which is stupid because, very objectively, Hayden Christensen looks like a supermodel. He's like a male supermodel-like type guy. So to make him some, like, dowdy nerd of a character who, like, had never had any friends is pretty stupid because... Hayden Christensen as adult looked like Hayden Christensen as a kid, except for he was younger at the time.
What was his nickname? Snowball?
Rice Bowl.
Rice Bowl, right.
Because his last name is Rice, and that's the best the guy could come up with.
Rice Bowl.
Hey, Rice Bowl. What's
You're
going
delicious.
I'm going to pour some teriyaki sauce on you.
eat you right up.
In terms of Jumper, let's do a grade thing. You go ahead and go first.
What, so I can't, like, rip off your grade and give the same thing? Okay, I'll just give it a B minus, I guess.
I think I'm going to go ahead and give it a whole B.
Ooh.
Just because I was pleasantly surprised by it.
It's true.
The way it turned out, because I expected...
My grade.
It was one of those things where I expected such crap. That
it
really ended up being... It was so technically proficient that it ended up being better. They didn't work with a Dungeon Siege tale. I expected garbage, and it was worse than I expected.
ridiculous.
I really feel like we should have high-fived a lot more during Jumper, though. Seven or eight times.
We should have high-fived that guy in the other day.
Every time he said something cool.
Gladly.
You did it, bro. You did it. Yeah, red ice.
On the street is that I've seen Ian masturbating.